Now I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I'll have to keep turning round to make sure I speak to everybody. I want to, on a sort of low note in a way, I do think a lot of us struggle with our faith today. Perhaps people always have done, but it's so much harder today. Look at all the empty seats. And it's quite a big village, isn't it? I'd forgotten just how big it is. And that's the way it is now. Dwindling congregations, and so many people now, just don't see the point. They're not necessarily atheists, they just don't see the point of organized religion. And this does make life, I think it is something to worry about, because I worry about my grandchildren. I've got teenage grandchildren, and one does worry. There's nothing to hang on to. And we are, life is always been a bit scary, but it's going to get much more scary, particularly with climate change. And what have they got to hang on to? Mind you, one of the strange things at the moment is I'm doing lots of christenings. I thought christenings had gone out, but I've done two. That was the one family, two kids, a week or two ago, and I've got five more lined up. And by the way, here's a little story. The vicar was a christening, and the mum and dad turned up with this baby. And they stood at the font, and the vicar said, as we used to say, and some of us still do, "Name this child." And so Mother said, "Spin Donna." Oh, the vicar thought, these silly names they choose these days. But he took the baby, held it, and splashed the water. "Spin Donna, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen." Well, after the service, the mother was furious. She came up to the vicar and said, "Vicar, what did you call him? "It's what you said, Spin Donna." "It's not, it's Pin Donna. It's Pin Donna." You get it? Pin Donna. Right, okay, sorry. I think it sounds a bit trite in a way, but we need to discover the Holy Spirit. That, I believe, is what elevated the first Christians. If you read your New Testament, you go through, particularly Luke's Gospel, but it's there in all the Gospels, but particularly in Luke's Gospel, there's a lot about the Holy Spirit, and in John, and especially in the letters of St. Paul. There's St. Paul, you've already read it this morning, the Spirit keeps coming all the time. And I believe that is what really innovated those first Christians. Going back to christenings, in the christening course, we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son. By the way, I have a little alarm here. Well, as you get, especially get older, you ramble on a bit. So the thing is that, what was I saying? So I have to say in the baptism, do you believe and trust in God, the Father, the Creator, the mystery beyond our understanding? Do you believe in Jesus, the Saviour, who reveals God, who is love? And do you believe in the Holy Spirit that gives life and hope? I did Greek when I was at college, but I couldn't manage Hebrew. But I did learn one or two Hebrew words. Ruach, lovely word, isn't it? Ruach meant either spirit or wind. It could be, and you don't know which it is, but in fact, they both interlock. So in the beginning, it says in creation, in Genesis 1, there was a formless void and darkness and blah, 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 while a wind, or could it be a spirit from God, swept over the face of the waters. Psalm 104, when you take away their spirit, or their breath, they die. But when you send forth your spirit, or breath, they are created and give you new life to the earth. Spirit, breath. Very powerful, isn't it? Do you ever watch somebody who's in the last moments of death? You know, there they are. Have you anybody ever actually watched that? And gradually watch them as the breath stops. They take a deep breath, and then you think, they've gone. No, and they take another breath. And then finally, the breath goes all together. That sense of life and breath, they go together, don't they? God's Spirit breathes new life into all creation. I want to hang on to that. Everything from the birth of a newborn baby, the sheer miracle of life. It's the same Spirit which can work in us, bringing new life and hope. Indeed, the Spirit's already at work in us. So in the reading that we had earlier on from Romans chapter 8, St. Paul mentions the Spirit three, four times in that reading. He says, through the power of the Spirit, you can put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, the selfishness and all that, that we've all got it in us, but it's the Spirit that can help you to get to terms with it. And you'll never get rid of it entirely, but you've got to be able to say, no, I'm not going to go that way. I'm going the way of Jesus Christ. Through the power of the Spirit. For all, he says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So why do we need the Spirit? Why do we need it? I think it's about finding inner strength. I think in the end, you know, I'm not sure. Things, you know, you pray for things. Please do this, Lord. Please do that and all the other. Well, things do happen sometimes, and sometimes they don't. That's true, isn't it? I think in the end, the prayer you should pray always is, please, Lord, give me the strength through your Spirit to be able to say the right things, do the right things, make amends and all the rest of it. It's asking God to give us that inner strength. We all need to find that inner strength, whether we're believers or not. Somehow we need to be able to cope with life. But for Christians, it comes through God's Spirit. We need it. Why do we need it? Because it's always been difficult living, and we do not know what's going to happen. My dear wife, who died sadly after a short illness 15 years ago, she said, Brian, things happen. And we have to be prepared for things that do happen. And the big happening will be climate change. You know, it was raining yesterday. I was doing a wedding yesterday. Big, big wedding. Very lively. We had a black gospel choir. Oh, yes, I think it was very lively. And it rained, and it kept on raining. Well, all I say to people is, thank God we're not in the Mediterranean, because the heat, 40 degrees and upwards, that is really scary. And we're lucky that it's not come here, but it still may do. We need inner strength to be able to cope with life. And again, it's about, you know that hymn, we ought to have had that today, breathe on me, breath of God. You know, Jesus, in the Gospel of St. John, he breathes on the disciples. You know that lovely man? Receive, he says, the Holy Spirit to his disciples. So St. Paul says, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit that's in you. So where do we see signs of the Spirit? Where do we see this? You say, well, where is the Spirit? What are you talking about? Well, for me, and it might be you as well, my dear wife, some years ago, said to me, one day, Brian, we're going to have to retire. Where are you going to go? Because, of course, we lived in the vicarage. It was at Hinckley. And I said, oh, I don't. Because we got some money set by. I said, what about Market Harborough? And so my wife, being the sort of person she was, no messing, the very next day she said, I'd found a house with a nice big garden. Yes, it is a big garden. It's over 100 yards long. It must be one of the biggest gardens in Market Harborough. And after, you know, and she died, of course, she never lived to actually work in that wonderful garden. But I love it. And I just fill it with flowers and shrubs and trees. And I always, and I just think it's wonderful. And I praise God. And through walk, when I'm getting stressed, I'm sitting at the desk and I'm getting stressed and I'm worrying about this, worrying about that, put it down, Brian, walk up the garden. And I walk up the garden, perhaps do a little bit of weeding while I go. And it's almost as if the spirit is at work. The spirit that gives life to all creation is the same spirit that can live and work in us and bring hope. And I just, do anybody feel that at all when you walk in the countryside? When you just, but it doesn't work for everybody. I when I have people coming to see me, you know, a couple coming to see me about the wedding, I say, well, sorry, you have to stop on my garden first. Come on, I'm going to walk up the garden. And with some, they stop and wonder. But some just don't get it. I was had a lady recently, won't say who it was, some of you might know her. And she came and we walked up the garden and I got a colvitzia. Anybody know what a colvitzia is? It's the most wonderful big shrub, full of flowers, and it doesn't last long, but it was glorious. I used to just stand in front of it and just say, wow. I took her up the garden. I said, what do you think of this colvitzia? She said, oh, it's pretty, isn't it? And walked on. Yeah, they didn't get it. Some people just don't get it, do they? And you know, to stop and wonder at God's wonderful creation. There's one way of finding the Spirit. Also, we see the Spirit at work where there is unselfish love, where people go out of their way to help. There are some very generous people, not necessarily Christians, not necessarily religious people, but people who feel they should do their bit. I'm trying to remember, I've got a book and I haven't got time to look it up, but somebody, a doctor who was a surgeon, just felt the call to go abroad, at least for a month or two each year, to go to places where they desperately needed a surgeon. And he just gave his time. And I just found that self-giving love, and that is the Spirit at work that can lead people to do wonderful things. And when I was at Hinckley, we had problems with alcoholics because we had the church open right in the middle of the town and so on. And I thought, got to do something to help people, because at Counterthorpe, where I was the vicar, I had occasionally people with drink problems, alcohol problems, and I ended up burying them. I thought, well, we've got to do something. And we set up an AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, still going there twice, every Sunday, every Tuesday evening. And it was a lifesaver for lots of people. Not for everybody, but really, and you watch it, and it's actually, it's interesting, it's quite Christian-based, Alcoholics Anonymous is. Not that you have to be Christian or any religion, but it's very powerful. And to watch people coming through. And I watched somebody coming through. He's now a vicar. So that's wonderful, isn't it? That is the Spirit at work. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, says Jesus, to help us in distress. The Spirit working in us brings forth the fruit of the Spirit in all of us. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Actually, that's interesting, isn't it? Self-control comes right at the end of that list that St. Paul gives us. And in the end, it's the most important thing, isn't it? It's that self-control, controlling yourself to be able to do the right things. It's not automatic. It's not just a question of a quick prayer and that's it. No, we've got to open ourselves to God. We've got to be prepared to change. Yes, change. We all need to change and go on changing. and learning. As I said to the couple that I married yesterday, you've got to go on changing and be prepared to change and listen to one another and so on. And so, come Holy Spirit, fill our hearts, fill our lives, renew us through your Spirit, renew us and help us to regain our faith and be able to live in faith and hope and love. Amen.